Your child has so much potential, but your local schools may not be right for them. Check out K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited tuition-free online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who have chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more. That's k12.com/podcast.
Hello to you all. Welcome back. Welcome back. I'm not welcoming you back. More like you're welcoming me back. After a couple days off, it's been a wild couple of weeks, but welcome into this edition of the Eric Zane Show podcast. I am live in the Impact Power Sports studio. My friends at Impact Power Sports, found online at impactpowersportsmi.com. They are awesome. If you want to get a Yamaha golf cart, you can get one at Impact Power Sports. How about a side-by-side, ATV, UTV, motorcycle, e-bike, one of those one-wheeled skateboards? They can get you that. How about a snowmobile, go-kart? All that fun stuff. That's all Fear Bunker North stuff that I should one day think about actually spending some money on. But welcome back to the show. I was away on Thursday and Friday. And honestly, it's just what the doctor ordered. From my standpoint, to head over to Fear Bunker North, or up to Fear Bunker North with my dogs in my beater truck, picking up sticks all weekend long. I don't know why I like that so much. And boy, there were a lot. Because recently there was that ridiculous ice storm. It was like a three-day hurricane that just wouldn't leave. And the amount of timber that was on the ground on the property was astronomical. So there I was with my little chainsaw, my little Tykes chainsaw, wearing my protective chaps and my helmet with the ear protection and the face guard and my Crocs, sawing away. And cleaning the place up, and I was alone. So everybody was like, "Oh, you got to be careful. You got to be careful." It's like, yeah, I know. You see, that's the thing. You injure yourself once with a chainsaw like I did. And, stand by. Everybody's like on heightened alert, super, super worried. Look, when it comes to footwear in chainsaws, with chainsaws, if you get hit in the foot with a chainsaw, it kind of doesn't matter what you're wearing. No, I can't even say that. If I had a nice pair of leather boots, it would definitely slow the blade down quicker and minimize the damage, unlike a Croc. So I'm kind of an idiot when it comes to that. That doesn't make any sense. Have all the safety equipment for your legs. Have the safety equipment for your face and your head and your ears. And then a pair of Crocs. Man Bun Chris is here. He says you're going to want to get the adventure strap out to help slow the blade down. Yeah, that allows me to be in four-wheel drive without it, with that adventure strap on. Tyler says the holes in the Crocs allow for foot meat to fly out while being mangled. But all is well. There is usually a question, Easy. What about the mice? Because I was staying in the old trailer. I just pull up, roll up there. I got my foam cooler full of my food. I got my dogs. Nick says, I thought about setting up a Mythbusters-type video cutting into a Croc versus a boot the last time you made that ridiculous claim. No, he's right. He's right. I mean, it's just math. I mean, leather is harder than stupid croc rubber, whatever the fuck it is. Nick and I both have figured out, we have found the secret sauce when it comes to mouse eradication. Nick recently pointed out that his walk the plank bucket at his place up north had dozens of mice in it. So I was excited to go check out the death toll at my place. So this is a bucket with a plank on it, and then you put the bait at the end of it. The mice walk to the end of the plank, and then they fall into the bucket, which is full of like that pink RV antifreeze. There's a ramp for them to walk up, and they just, that's it, you know? And I think what has happened here, because I had the same success, and the mice, when they're in there, they don't rot. That pink RV stuff, it like preserves them. So I've got a bucket full of mice, and there was about 30 mice between two buckets. Now, before I got to that point to check on them, I went into the trailer, which they oftentimes will show up in the wintertime and build actual nests inside of the dwelling. And then usually there's mouse turds all over the counter where they just wander around and crap everywhere on the stovetop. And then the first thing I have to do is vacuum it all, sanitize the surfaces where I prepare the food, clean it. There's usually several traps sprung with mice that have decomposed, so it smells terrible inside of the dwelling. The first thing I did was unlocked, and I went in, and right away, there's no odor and not one turd in any of those locations I was telling you about. So I was like, what the fuck? This is unheard of. This is 6 months this thing's been closed up. I opened up the area where they usually get trapped the most underneath the sink, and I've got four traps there unsprung with the bait still on. And I'm like, uh-oh, we might have found the secret formula. And so all I can do is think that these buckets are going to be full. And boy, were they. These two buckets were full of all these mice. So the only conclusion that I can make is I wiped out the whole mouse population, because eventually the bait on the bucket is gone. It, whatever, mice get at it, or if they, or birds or bugs, or it just, you know, it's not going to last forever. But there was nothing in the house. So I think referring to the area, the acreage as Mousewitz, as it is a mouse concentration camp setting. I then drained the poison into a receptacle so it can be disposed of properly. And I poured it in till it was almost, because there was a lot of water in it at this point, and I need to, you know, put new poison in there. And then I gathered the mice. I was wearing like plastic gloves, you know, like the rubber gloves. And then I laid all the mice out, all right? And I took a picture of it, and I should have it here, but it'd be kind of gross. And I sent it to, I should have sent it to Nick, because he sent me one just like it. I sent it off to Charity Scam Mike, my brother-in-law. And I'm like, brother, your place was not breached. My place was not breached. Holy shit, we found the secret sauce. It's the walk the plank mouse trap. People had been telling me this for so long, but for some reason I didn't do it. I then gathered up all of the mice, and I put them into one of those plastic Meyer bags. Some would call it a poke. Nick says you line them up like dead veterans. Holy shit, that's quite a comment. And so now I have this bag with plenty of weight to it. This is several pounds of mice in the bag, dead mice. And then I get the fire going really high, like a chimney fire, and then you just drop the mice right in the middle of it and get the fuck out of there because you're going to smell cooked mice. And then you come back 25 minutes later, they're gone. Vanished. It worked. And I couldn't wait to break the news to Pooh Bear. And I go, yeah, I wouldn't lie to you. It's a clean sweep. Put the new poison in. Nick was even excited when he told me about this because this was his first experience with this type of approach with destroying the mouse population outside of the dwelling. So then you have to keep it that way because they can come back. But if you think about it, let's say in a football field size area where mice might congregate, if you kill all the mice, you've solved the problem before they even get in, you know? So I was extremely excited. Tyler says the Meyer bags containing the carcasses are then hurled into the tree branches to remind other mice they are not welcome on this property. Right. No, I burned them, but that is a little bit like the hamster euthanasia that happened. But these were dead. These were long since dead. The preserving properties of that pink RV fluid is incredible. That's like, I guess, what you embalm bodies with. Stand by. I got to drink this coffee. Mm-mm-mm. Radio. I shouldn't say radio. Podcasting news directed at certain people. I am aware of the medical incident. I am aware that an ambulance crew was called to the residence. I have made a FOIA request. And if you need more information, it will be talked about on this show. You're like, what in the world are you talking about? Yes, I went full Pellerito and made a FOIA request today in an attempt to get a 911 call. All right. So some of you might be like, what in the world? What is going on? Rebecca says, what the fuck did I miss? You missed nothing. This is the first I've mentioned this. I found out that someone that would, I don't want to say who yet because I need more information. I don't want to look like a jackass yet. Someone that would be interesting to talk about on this show, who everybody's ears would perk up, was whisked away in an ambulance last night at about 7 p.m. Now, I found out about this moments after the ambulance left the scene, probably like when it was still within range, because one of my moles, and they're everywhere, the mole community is growing at an alarming rate. One of the moles saw what happened and reported it, chain of command, to one of my consigliers, who then reached out to me and said, EZ, I've got a report of an ambulance leaving this residence. What do you want to do with this information? And I said, I appreciate the information. I tipped off the powers that be that would want this information so one other party knows about this. And then I made the FOIA request. Man Bun Chris says, I hope everyone is okay. And, well, I don't know. I think they are. I can't say. But it is a juicy tidbit because people are dying to get this information. So I have gone full Pellerito on this and made a FOIA request. It has been sent in. It happened in West Michigan. I'll tell you that. That's all I can tell you. And it's not like it's for legal reasons. I just want to make sure that the party is okay. I don't want to be the jackass to say, holy crap, look at this. And then it finds out that you find out that things are not okay. I mean. So, let's put it this way. The person who was involved, I'm on the fence about the, I have to make sure they're okay or not okay. Like, part of me is like, who gives a fuck if they're okay? Like, it's that. I have to, I'm on that fine line between fuck them and nah, I don't think that way. So I'm still not sure yet. Jeremy writes, oh dear, have the years of eating nothing but chicken tendies and French fries finally caught up with a former friend of ours? I will say nothing. In addition to me discussing what I've discussed with you, there is another breadcrumb out there that might help you in figuring out what is going on. You just have to notice it and then connect the dots. Bob writes, the show this morning did sound happier for some reason. Man Bun Chris says, do you know this because of the new show that's coming out that you posted about? I will say this. I posted over the weekend a clip of Deion Sanders. Now, this is not AI. If you have been following this, this is a great story. You don't have to follow sports at all to even appreciate this bit of hilarity. There's a football player from Colorado just finished up his college career named Shedeur Sanders. And he was the quarterback of Colorado. His dad, Deion Sanders, NFL Hall of Famer, is the coach. And Deion had been talking about how his son Shedeur is going to be a top five pick and he's great. Well, the problem is Shedeur Sanders is a douchebag. And NFL teams found this out because leading up to the NFL draft, they will sit down for a get to know you type session with this potential draft pick to see if they have any brains or they're a douchebag. And so they met with Shedeur Sanders and right away they figured out that he's a total douche like his dad. And, you know, entitled, just arrogant as fuck. The type of player that definitely wouldn't fit in on any team for that matter. But they had him going, like, if you look at his skill level, a lot of people thought he was going to be, like, the first or second quarterback drafted, probably the second because the one fucker went to Tennessee. I don't pretend to know this shit. But it doesn't matter. The best story here is this story. So this guy is sitting there. Pick one is made, it's not him. Pick two is made, and it's not him. So he's thinking, oh, well, yeah, but my dad told me I'd be a top five pick. Well, five picks go by, no pick. And then the whole night goes by, no pick. And then he finally is drafted near the bottom of the draft in the fifth round by the Cleveland Browns. And there's a couple of elements to the story. I'll get to the prank call in a minute. But I saw the not AI clip of Deion Sanders. And I just love these not AI segments. They just make me laugh. And I posted this. It
would be a top five pick.
I posted this on my Facebook page. You can see it or click on the link in the audio or in the show notes of the podcast.
It would be a top five pick. But I meant in the top five rounds of the Arena League, I hope he gets drafted because he's a terrible dadgum rapper. That boy has zero tone or talent. He better put out a sex tape out or something because he has no future there. And I just don't understand how refusing to meet with teams and being disrespectful to multiple organizations would affect his draft status. It's not fair. We retired his number. Gosh darn it. My son didn't get picked because every team is dumb. It's not because he's an insufferable jackass who's incredibly vapid. It's all 32 of them. It's not because nobody wants a diva-ass quarterback or because nobody likes me. It's because the Lord works in mysterious ways. And no, I don't think the Lord is telling me to stop being a massive douchebag that nobody wants to be around. I think he's saying to buy more jewelry. So that's what I'll do.
Okay. That is absolute glorious. Absolutely glorious. I love that so much. But we're not done there. This guy, as I indicated, he was waiting, and Man Bun Chris says, can you make it smaller? I know. Come on. Just, it's the audio that we care about. This Sanders, he did a draft party, okay? So he's got, like, all this money spent on like a golf course or whatever the fuck. And all of his friends and family are there. Everybody's having a great time. And he's waiting to get drafted. See this tent? Look, there's couches out. There's a hot tub. What a party. And then he doesn't get picked. Now, as the sun is setting there, he thinks his phone rings. Now, each guy gets has a private number, and the only people that have the numbers are the NFL teams. So he's on Twitch live streaming, and he gets a phone call, and he's thinking, oh, this is it. This is the big one. Now, this is a little herky-jerky because the Twitch stream was a little bit jacked, but don't worry. It'll all come out as we talk about this.
Y'all want me to teach Snow how to walk right now?
Okay, there's mom.
Hold on. Here we go.
Okay, the phone call coming in. Okay, so wait a minute.
Y'all want me to teach Snow how to walk right now?
They cut the music.
Trey.
She's handing the phone to Sanders.
Hold on. Here we go.
Your child has so much potential, but your local schools may not be right for them. Check out K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited tuition-free online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who have chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more. That's k12.com/podcast.
Okay, it's choppy.
Good, how are you, man?
Okay, you can hear the person on the line saying, good, how are you, man? That's like the NFL team calling him.
Good, been waiting on you.
Ready to go!
Yeah,
yeah.
No, for sure.
Okay, you can hear that's all the cameras. You can hear him clicking. Shadur is getting drafted.
Get up and stand on this.
Yeah. Ready to go.
What does that mean?
Okay, now something's wrong. Shadur says, what does that mean?
What do you say?
I don't know.
How you going to ask us what it means and you was on the phone?
You heard that?
He said you're going to have to wait a little longer. So the guy on the other line said, Shadur, yeah, we're going to draft you, but you got to wait a little longer. And then hung up.
Sorry about that. I don't know what that was.
Somebody said, that's fucked up. He goes, I don't know what that was.
It's 50-50. But nobody got this number, though.
Okay, so he's confused. He's like, nobody has this.
You don't have that number? that number? Nobody.
Who's that number? What the fuck?
It's a private number. What the fuck was that?
What the fuck was that?
Nah, nobody has his number, though. I said nobody has his phone.
There's Dion. Okay, so there's confusion. They all thought he was just picked. But that hasn't happened. Yoda World says you can actually pinpoint the second when his heart rips in half. Let's go to the other side of this. Here's the bros making the prank call. This guy with his hands over his face, he's like, oh, maybe this will work. I don't know. Here's the dude who's going to do the talking wearing the Ole Miss shirt. It's ringing and ringing and ringing. So right now, the dude's mom is handing him the phone.
Hey, is this Shadir? Hey, this is Mickey Loomis here, the GM of the New Orleans Saints. How you doing? This is Mickey Loomis here, GM of the Saints.
How you doing?
Good, how are you, man?
Good, we're waiting on you.
Yeah, we have. It's been a long wait, man. We're going to take you with our next pick right here, man.
This is going to be legendary.
This is going to be legendary. So right now, Shadorf thinks it's going good. You know, they're going to pick me.
But you're going to have to wait a little bit longer, man. Sorry about that.
Okay.
Beautiful.
Okay, so that's it.
Certified Piedmontese beef rib.
Fuck. So college bros pranked Shadur Sanders. Hold the phone. How did they get the number? The guy there wearing the Ole Miss shirt making the phone call was walking through the kitchen of his parents' house. And something caught his eye. It was his dad's laptop or iPad. So dad, like, got up from the workstation, was doing some work at home, and went to go get a cup of coffee. And that bro there that you saw, he went, oh, and like wrote down a phone number. And it's Shadur Sanders' number. Why? How the hell does this guy get it on his laptop or his iPad? It's because dad is an assistant coach for the Atlanta Falcons. Oh, shit. So he intercepts, like Deion Sanders intercepted so many passes. And then him and his bro friends plot this outstanding effort. I mean, this is great. Now, you would assume that... And then right now the kid is doing an apology tour. I'm so sorry. This is inexcusable. This is that. But I'm waiting for this level of chicanery to be revealed. Okay. Jeremy says what I'm thinking. Inside job. I'm calling it now. I'll bet you that Shadur was such a douchebag that dad might have went, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. I mean, it isn't too much of a thing to lean into or think if you think about it. And then he just says, yeah, you're going to do this. You're not going to get in trouble. And when you do get, quote unquote, busted, you're going to reveal that you just saw it on my laptop. And I'm going to give you $10,000 just for fucking shits and grins. In order to pull this off, I think that the dad's in on it. That's what I think. Because I think that if you're, because the kid's 21 years old and he pulled that off, and I don't think that any 21-year-old, knowing what their dad does for a living and knows what's at stake, would A, steal the number, B, make the call, C, record it, and D, put it online. I think that the kid was fully endorsed by the dad, who said, I mean, if you can't trust your kids, who can you trust? Say, look, son, you're not going to get any trouble. People are just going to call you names and get mad at you. But all you got to do is go on an apology tour. It'll be fine. So I want you to, Shedeur Sanders is the biggest douchebag on the planet. Do your fucking worst and fuck with this guy. Here's $10,000. That's what happened. And this story has evolved. So all of these moving parts have taken place, with the exception of the one that I just threw out there. And I don't know if we'll ever find that out, that part of it, of the dad who is the assistant coach for the Atlanta Falcons. But think about it. I mean, why not? My beloved Detroit Lions drafted a bunch of players that I don't know any of these guys. And that's because I don't follow football, but I am trusting that they're going to be great, because that these guys know what they're doing. There's a local kid that lives like a mile away from here. His name is Isaac Tesla. It's got an extra A at the end of it. T-E-S-L-A-A. I'm guessing he pronounces it Tesla. But he got drafted by the Lions in the third round. And a lot of people are like, holy shit, man, the Lions, why did they draft that guy? But I guess he's like a Brad Holmes of the Lions. This is a little inside football here for you. Described him as just a terrific run blocker and a pest, and pisses everybody off when he's playing against them. And that's just the type of guy that they're looking for. So that's cool. T-Slaw, like coleslaw, says Jeremy. Okay, thank you. T-Slaw. Thank you for that. Isaac T-Slaw. And so, mile away, he's having a draft party. But I don't know if the Lions traded up to get that guy. And I'm not even sure thought he was going to go that high. But that's exciting for a local dude getting drafted. Hope he makes the team. I think he will. Third round pick. Come on. You know that if the Lions are picking somebody, they have to pass the sniff test of that type of work ethic, grinder type of dude, you know? Definitely not the Shedeur Sanders type. I love the fact that all those teams passed on him. That just shows you that's everything you need to know. They would not waste their time on a head case from the Sanders family. And that, to me, is a long bit of payback for the dad. The dad is such a douchebag. Everybody hates the dad. Tim McCarver is going, yes! Hands up if you know the reference. So the draft is held in Green Bay. As Jeremy writes, T-Slaw grew up a Detroit Lions fan. Apparently, he showed up to an interview with the Lions in a Lions jersey. That is cool. I'm happy for him. There's another video from the draft that I wanted to share with you. This one happened in real time. So the Lions, when they make their draft picks, they have like a representative from the team show up to make
a year ago on this weekend.
Sorry. This is going to be another small video because I'm playing it off of my my page, which I screen captured it. Terry and Arnold came out to make the pick for the Lions. And I'm just going to play the audio. Forget the video. And he's standing there in a fantastic blue sequin suit. And this is what he said when he made the pick to the crowd in Green Bay.
1 year ago on this weekend, I cried because I thought I was going to be a Packer. But the Kings of the NFC North. came and saved me. Detroit, baby, one prior.
Wow.
1 year ago on this weekend.
What? What an insult.
I cried because I thought I was going to be a Packer. But the Kings of the NFC North came and saved me. Detroit, baby, one prior.
Wow. Rich Eisen goes, wow. That's awesome. That's what you want. You want that type of shit talking. Oh, that's fun. I love that. Josh writes, you're a real man, Dion, while Dion covers him with champagne. Yes, that's the Tim McCarver reference. R.I.P. Tim Mack. The Deion Sanders thing was fantastic as that information rolled out, because first you had him dropping in the draft. Not the Deion Sanders, the Shedeur Sanders. Him dropping in the draft was a big story. First round, second round, all the way to the fifth round. Oh, my God. And then the prank call. And then the other side of the prank call with the bros. And then the Atlanta Falcons coach's son. Even if it was like he did actually go and hijack that number and take it, and you know, without dad knowing, which I'm sure dad did know, for him to apologize, I would say no apology necessary. Big deal. Big deal. The NFL said that they were doing an investigation. It's like, on what? Who cares? Big deal. Some NFL player was confused. The guy apologized to the Sanders family and all that shit, and Shedeur said, I don't even care. It's not a big deal. But people like to make things a big deal. In my opinion, that's gamesmanship. You know, if Shedeur Sanders is a man, he'll use this as motivation. Both the insult from the pick, the prank, and the insult from the pick. You know, if I can get to work, quit being such a douchebag. Tyler says the best part is that he wasn't even the first quarterback Cleveland drafted. Fuck, I didn't know that. I don't even follow this shit, but that's incredible. I got nothing against Shedeur Sanders. I just like good stories. That's why I'm here, you know? All right. I want to update Fatathon. By the way, we have the Monday show is broken up into two parts. The live stream is broken up into two parts because of, excuse me, my Q100 staff meeting, which, by the way, being north of the hard living line, like I was, I was up there with the dogs, and one of the staff members of the radio station, the guy who does afternoons, J-Bo, he's a fantastic musician. If you ever get a chance to look up the Billman Brothers or Grinder Blues, those are his bands, or just look up J-Bo Billman, J-A-B-O-B-I-H-L-M-A-N. He's outstanding. He had a concert in Cadillac at a place called The Venue, and I'm up there at Fear Bunker North, and that's an hour away, hour and some change away. Now, the boss lady at the radio station is Cheryl. And I said, yeah, hey, I'm going up north. I'll be on the air in studio on Friday at the radio station, which I did. So I wake up at Fear Bunker North, get my coffee, head out the door from the property and go to the radio station, do my shift, come home, cut wood. The boss lady, Cheryl, says, oh, good. We're glad you'll be in town. You can go to see the audience that are here to see J-Bo and see J-Bo perform. Now, I was like, well, I don't know if I can because I've got the four dogs and I don't want to leave them alone for that long, which is reasonable, in the trailer. And she's kind of like, And I could tell she really wanted me to go. So I said, you know, don't even worry about it. I'll figure something out. I'll be there. She said, Jable's going to be disappointed. So she kind of went that route. And I'm like, you know, all right, I'll figure it out. So what I did was I put all four dogs in my truck and drove to Cadillac. And I left them in the truck with water. And it was chilly. It was like 45 degrees there at the time. So it wasn't too warm. And then like every like half hour, I'd go and let them out, let them walk around. So I'm covered in dog hair, and people are like, oh, man, we're so glad you made it. Yeah, and I'm like, yeah, I brought the dogs. So this is the dogs are gathering attention, and I don't know it, but the concert goers are there to see the show. And I go outside after about a half an hour to let the dogs out, and there's like 25 people around my vehicle looking at the dogs and waving and sticking their hands in and getting their pets. And I'm like, hey, are these your dogs? I go, yeah. You want to pet them? They go, yeah. So it was like a fucking petting zoo in the parking lot of this establishment. And the dogs were just superstars, man. They just love that type of attention, man. So it ended up working out, you know? I stayed there. I couldn't stay for the whole event, though. I was disappointed. I wanted to see my man Jabo play, but it did not. I didn't want to leave them in there for that long. Couple hours, letting them out every 30 minutes, no big deal. But I didn't want it to be 4 hours. You know, just too much. As Bruce rolls on his back, that's hysterical. Okay. So I'm going to update the fat-a-thon here. For all of you. And because it's just great news. And then I am going to ditch and head over to Q100 Zoom staff meeting. Here's the latest. Jeremy again gets the star on the blubber. In fact, I'm going to read to you what he wrote. Congrats, by the way. For star on the blubber accolades. He writes, haters and zaners said I'd have a setback after last week's big week, but rumors of my demise were greatly exaggerated. The machine is back and humming along. And it sure is. He is down another 2.7 pounds. Jeremy talks about, in fact, I should probably just read the whole email. I was in a hurry this morning, so I just talked some shit and then sent the update. Here's a bit more about the week. My mom's birthday was yesterday, so I thought for sure it was going to be a bad week. We went out for dinner. I got some scallops with risotto, a big old chunk of salmon, a slab of tiramisu. We split a bottle of wine on top of eating kind of assy throughout the week because of work travel. I definitely thought I was in store for a gain. But I dropped. Again. For me, this is a great sign of significant progress. I'm proving to myself that I am capable of limiting my garbage food intake while still enjoying myself. This, I think, is a good sign for keeping the weight off long term. Being able to recognize and control myself when I choose to eat high-calorie foods is a skill that I just didn't have when I started doing this. We're on to next week. Looking forward to creeping closer to minus 100 pounds. I'm so close, I can almost taste it. I'm not going to rush there just to get there. But it's insane that I'm probably 2 weeks away. Absolutely nuts. I'm a fucking badass, he writes. So he goes from 242.9 to 240.2. Down 2.7. Now officially down 95.1 pounds in 33 weeks. And to think this all started from just you responding after we said, yeah, we'll just try to eat right today and build upon that. And just that's all he's done every day for 33 weeks. It's really incredible. Good for you, buddy. I cannot wait to see you when you're shredded. I dropped 1.5. I went after I went up last week. I went from 182.5 to 181, down 4.5 total after 8 weeks. Rebecca, she's feeling good. She was in the hunt for fat on the blubber or star on the blubber, but came up a bit short. She was at 282.9, down to 280.9 for a 2 pound drop. She's lost 13.7 in 14 weeks. Amanda dropped 0.4. She's frustrated. At least the scale went in the right direction for 2 weeks in a row now. She went from 297.6 to 297.2. She has dropped 19.3 pounds in 15 weeks. All told, we lost 2, 4, 5, 6.2, 6.6 pounds for the week. Keep it up. Congrats to every one of you. Keep at it. Try to eat well today. Jeremy, boy, man, yeah, that's stealing the show again. Outstanding. But don't get cocky, you fuck. You've got another solid day right here ahead of you. And keep it up. I'm going to the staff meeting.
Your child has so much potential, but your local schools may not be right for them. Check out K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited tuition-free online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who have chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more. That's k12.com/podcast.